Scripture reading for this evening comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry on its own things. Sufficient the day its own trouble.
Good evening, church. We'll hang out for the most part of the night here in Matthew. Here in Matthew chapter 6:34, most of us are familiar with these particular scriptures. It comes from Jesus preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount contains some of Jesus' most challenging teachings throughout the scriptures. The Sermon on the Mount specifically references through Matthew chapters 5 through 7. In Matthew 5, Chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 1 and 2, is likely the reason that it is known as Sermon on the Mount, as it reads as follows. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. The Sermon on the Mount is most likely one of the most famous sermons that Jesus preached. The Sermon on the Mount covers several different topics. The Beatitudes, for one, salt and light, anger and murder, eye for an eye, giving to the needy, how to fast. It also discusses treasures that are in heaven. It also references false prophets, as well as do not judge hypocritically. Tonight, I want to focus on when Jesus talks about do not worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 reads as follows. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? In this portion of his sermon, Jesus teaches his disciples not to be anxious about what they will eat or simply what they will wear. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? And then later on in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Three times Christ gave his disciples the command not to worry. Christ repeated it perhaps because he knows human tendency is for humans to do just the exact opposite. God knows that we tend to anxiously focus on the future concerns, those concerns that await us the next day or in the future, rather than focusing on God. God holds tomorrow within his hands. We just simply need to trust him. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jesus urges his followers to trust in God as their provider. The faithful servant who is wholeheartedly committed to the king does not need to worry about being distracted about the everyday cares of life. Putting our confidence in God simply means trusting that he will take care of us and provide everything that we need. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus challenging the disciples specifically not to worry about the concerns that may appear in the future. When he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, he had just taught the disciples how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread, when he spoke about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Servants of God's kingdoms must live in the present. God looks after his servants and he takes care of them today. He gives us our daily bread and everything else that we may need today. We don't need to worry about tomorrow because God will be there to deal with our concerns today. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it reads, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Amen. In the wilderness, God taught the children of Israel the same principle of depending upon God for the day's provision. Even though they had been slaves in Egypt, they wanted to go back so that they didn't have to worry about where their next meal would come from. God fed them with just enough manna to sustain their lives for the day. When they worried about tomorrow storing food up for the next day, that supply of manna would rot, as read in Exodus chapter 16, verses 19 through 20. Every step of the way, God's people must depend upon his faithful supply. The Lord knows that we face many circumstances and situations that cause anxiety in a dark world. So how can we follow his command to stop worrying about tomorrow? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, presents our most potent weapon against worry. It reads as follows. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So what can we do as Christians? Tonight, I want to cover a few things that God's words demonstrates and tells us that we should do in these moments to prevent worrying. Whenever we find ourselves feeling anxious or worrying about tomorrow, first, we must take it to the Lord in prayer. We can live in that moment acknowledging that God is right there with us. As we tell him what we need through prayer, we thank him for all that he has done for us. A thankful attitude suggests the expectation that he has continued care and watch over us. As we spend time in the presence of our Heavenly Father pouring out our concerns in prayer, he responded by giving us peace that guards our hearts and our minds. When we remember to turn to the Father in prayer, he instantly comes to help us through our anxious moments. Secondly, we must rely on God's grace. The Apostle Paul endured a thorn in the flesh that caused him considerable anxiety, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. "In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Paul took his concern to the Lord in prayer. When the problem persisted, he relied on the Lord to provide him with grace to continue to carry on. God's grace gave Paul the ability to be able to see that the Lord would be glorified in his infirmity. "That is why, for Christ's sakes, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong," as read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. We can put an end to our worries about tomorrow by seeking God, because we know that he will be with us in the future, providing that the grace that we need to get through it. When tomorrow comes, the Father will be there with grace to meet our every need. Thirdly, we must discipline our minds. After praying and receiving God's peace, we must discipline our minds. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, is there in any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things, as read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It's hard to worry when our thoughts are centered and focused on God. Lazy, undisciplined thinking produces worry and concern. Instead, we need to train our minds and focus on the Word of God, which tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," as read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Fourth, we must take action. We cannot be wholly dedicated to God if we're devoted to worrying about tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow is a failure to trust in God's accomplishes nothing. Peter wisely advises, "Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you," as read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Sometimes obeying the Lord's command not to worry about tomorrow requires actions. "Keep putting it into practice, all that you have learned and received from me. Everything that you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you," as read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. If fears about your tomorrow are consuming you today or overwhelming you today, consider spending more time in God's Word, specifically surrounding the topic of concern and worry. Create a plan of action that will remove you from these unnecessary worries and concerns. The Lord's command, "Do not worry about tomorrow," is a reminder for all Christians to live in the moment and put their trust in Him for every circumstance and in every situation. Worrying about tomorrow is looking at our future as if God will not be there to take care of us. Jesus teaches us to live in God's presence one day at a time and to deal with each problem when it comes up by taking it to the Father in prayer. About 17 years ago, personally, I was concerned about my debt. This was pre-getting married. I had a lot of financial debt. My credit card balance was higher than what I wanted it to be. The credit card company was calling. Creditors were calling. They wanted their money, right? I was avoiding phone calls. I neglected to go out when friends asked me to come out. "Let's go out tonight. Let's go and do this. Let's go out to dinner. Let's hang out. Let's go watch the game." I didn't want to do that because I knew that would involve spending more money and causing more debt. During this process, when I was concerned about my debt, I met Jennifer and we started dating. Then I remember thinking, "I'm too broke to be in a relationship." My financial concerns had consumed me so much where it just created that doubt in me that I didn't have enough money to be in the relationship. Because obviously, as we know, when you're dating and you're in a relationship, you have to go out on dates, you're spending money. You got popcorn, you got dinner, you got dates, you're spending that extra cash. So anyway, after dating for several months, I realized that Jennifer was the one that I wanted to marry. God had finally answered my prayers, but I had prayed for so long for Him to place that special someone in my life for so many years. And I waited for 40 years. 40 years is when I got married to Jennifer. But I waited for so long, but He had finally answered my prayers. So obviously, if I realize that she's the one, now I have to start thinking about an engagement ring. That's more money. It's more debt, right? So eventually I was able to dig in the corners of the couches and shake out a few chairs to get some spare change in order to dig up enough to get an engagement ring. And then I proposed, and she said yes. I believe it was the next day. It may have been a couple of days after that, but my memory serves me correctly. I believe it was the next day we had a conversation. And she asked me, she said, "Hey, so now that we're engaged, when are you thinking that this marriage is going to take place? What type of a wedding date? When is it?" Me personally, I didn't want to go into marriage in debt. I had known a lot of friends that went into marriage with debt, significant debt, and it kind of consumed their marriage and it didn't work out too well. So I had a strong belief that I didn't want to go into marriage with any type of debt, no matter how minor the debt may seem. At the time, I had a credit card debt of $3,000. To somebody that's broke, that's a significant amount of money. To somebody that's rich, that may just be a drop in the bucket for them. But to me, it had me scared enough where I wasn't answering my phone because of $3,000. So I did the math in my head quickly on how long it would take me to get out of debt of $3,000 so that I could give her a date for this particular wedding. Let's see, if I do $35 a month times X amount to 35 for the rest of the 4 years, during the math, right? And then I also had to think about, I had to get a ring. So I had to get out of debt and I had enough money for a ring. So doing all of that math, 5 years came out of my mouth. So once I said 5 years to Jennifer, I'm 40 years old and I said 5 years. So that's already thinking later on down the line, I could look at the look on her face and tell that this isn't the answer that she wanted to hear. As I would probably be correct at guessing that she probably thought it would be a lot sooner. She then asked me, "How much debt do you have?" And I said, "Okay, we're dating. I'll disclose it." I said $3,000. So when I said $3,000, Jennifer, which you all know, being the sweet, humble, beautiful, generous creature that she is, she simply offered to pay it. She said, "I'll give you the money to pay off your debt." And I said, "No, it's my debt. I'll pay it. I incurred it. I will pay it." So I shared with her that I didn't like going into marriage with debt, and she understood. So we continued to discuss the wedding date, and we agreed upon a more reasonable time frame to set the date up after that, after I paid my debt down with a more aggressive payment plan than I had originally thought of, a plan that mainly consisted of a lot of cups of ramen noodles and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but we got it down from 5 years to a good date. My point, I constantly worried about my debt, about how I would pay my debt, to a point where it had consumed my life, to a point where I was not necessarily in hiding, but I wasn't willing to go out. Was nervous about answering the phone, thinking it was going to be a creditor calling, trying to collect their money. I avoided going out with friends. I isolated myself because I was worried about my debt. Instead of giving it to God, I let it consume me, and it affected my life. I was worried about the bills and not being able to get it paid off. I was concerned about what was going to happen tomorrow. What if my car breaks down? What if I get sick? Doctor bills start to pile up. Our Heavenly Father will be there with us today. Our Heavenly Father will also be with us tomorrow. We have to trust in God and not worry about tomorrow. It's much easier said than done. But we have to trust God and understand that He has a plan and that He has our back and He will take care of us today as well as tomorrow. I've noticed in watching several different movies, those that struggle with addiction or that are in recovery, they go by this mantra of one day at a time. There's no value in that person worrying about whether they will fall into temptation tomorrow. If they were dealing with any particular type of struggle, their focus and their mantra was always focus on one day at a time. Their addiction must be fought today. Tomorrow's fight will happen tomorrow, and God will take care of them. In overcoming addiction, people are taught to focus on winning today's battle today. This is compatible with the principles found in the command from Jesus. He tells his followers not to worry about tomorrow. And he has already said, worry doesn't fix anything. Anxiety over things that we cannot control or that is out of our reach makes no sense. Jesus says, in short, that born again believers ought to let tomorrow worry about itself. He's not saying that Christians cannot or should not make promises or make wise plans for the future, like saving for your kids' college fund or saving for a house. His context here is about the emotions or the fear and anxiety. Those who trust in God shouldn't allow useless worry over their future. Tomorrow's fight will happen tomorrow. The battle to trust God is always happening in the current moment. Today has plenty of trouble with which we need to trust in God. Let God provide what is needed day by day. We should cast our burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain us, as read in Psalms chapter 55, verse 22. We should cast our anxiety on God because he cares for us, as read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We should find comfort and peace in the word of God, the same word of God that promised you a hope and a future. Fear, worry, and anxiety are all weapons of Satan. These emotions keep us from trusting in God and walking by faith in him. These emotions can overwhelm us and keep us paralyzed. Practice how to be free from worry and anxiety by meditating on God's word and casting your cares upon Jesus. As we prepare for the song of invitation tonight, maybe you're here tonight struggling as a Christian with worry or some form of anxiety, and you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ. If you would like to come forward, please do so at this time as we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.